you.
Thanks. Please be seated. Well, this has been a wonderful morning already. I love that song, "Battle Belongs to the Lord," because that is exactly how we fight. We fight on our knees with our hands lifted high. We look to the God who has the power. And because he has given his Spirit to us, then he gave us the power to walk out on everything and to see the victory in our lives. So I want to follow up today with sharing a little bit more about what Allison shared last week about healing and how it's always God's will to heal. And because it's always God's will to heal, then it's also a ministry, that the service that God has given to us to go and to heal. And so we're going to learn a little bit about how to do that. And it comes from this verse, Luke 4:18. And that's when Jesus was in Nazareth, and he stands up in the synagogue and he reads the scroll, the portion of the scroll that was for that day. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to deliver those who are crushed." I like that translation. That's why I picked this one up here on the screen, because King James says, to set at liberty those that are bruised. What he's doing, he's reading from Isaiah. And the verse is Isaiah 61:1. And I want to read that to you too. It says in Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Now, the first thing we see just right off the bat of the comparison of these two verses, Isaiah 61 and then Luke 4, what Jesus read, is that Jesus adds a phrase in there. The part about recovering of sight to the blind, that's not in Isaiah 61. That actually comes from another verse in Isaiah. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at each one of these phrases and just see how not only did Jesus heal people like this, but it's that we can do it too. So we are anointed with the same Spirit, the same measure of the Spirit that was on Jesus Christ is what we have inside. So when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me," that word anointed is where you get Christ. Christ is the anointed one. So when we say we have Christ in us, we're anointed with the fullness of the measure of Christ. So we have the same power to do what he did. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, as we speak to people, as we grow in our understanding and our appreciation of the love that God has for us, more and more you get to the place where you go, yeah, I can do this. I can do this just like Christ did. And you spend our lives in service, in a ministry, a service of healing in lots of different ways. So the first part is, preach the gospel or the good news to the poor. And everybody who is poor, in other words, needy, doesn't have hope. If you have a need in your life, there's an area that you need hope. And so when it says he preached the good news, what's the good news? Yeah, that Christ is going to come back, that there's going to be a resurrection. And that's what the early church did. If you look at Acts chapter 4, I'm going to be reading from my translation today. Fancy that, right? Acts chapter 4, this was one of the earliest sermons, right? And it says in verse 1, while they were speaking these words to the people, the priests and the Sadducees and the rulers of the temple stood up against them, being furious at them that they taught the people and preached about Christ concerning the resurrection of the dead. The message that the early church had, where they had so many people believe, right after this, 5,000 people believe, because they were preaching about the resurrection. And not only that Jesus was raised from the dead, but that there was going to be a resurrection where you can be raised from the dead. And that's what got to people. It's like, wow, if I hear about this Jesus that happened to him, then it can happen to me too. And so people would embrace salvation. Allison was sharing about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's hope. And when we have any kind of need in our life, this is the first thing we need to receive for ourselves first, right? And then give out to others. You can have hope. You can have answers. You can have healing in your life because of the resurrection and the power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that we have. Isn't that awesome? I mean, you got to get excited about these kinds of things. So I start jumping up and down and going, oh my gosh, I can't wait to talk about this. Okay, so the next phrase. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now, not all the versions have this. You look at the NASB and some of the other ones, they leave out this phrase, but it is in Isaiah. And so I believe it should be in there because I think it's the next idea. The brokenhearted part is where a person is a broken person. They are crushed, shattered. Not only do they not have hope, but have really given up. Like when you're broken, you don't see that there's any solution. You don't see the solution. So that's what we have to give to people is there's a solution to heal the brokenhearted. And so I want to look at John chapter 4. This is the record of the one. Some versions say the son of a king or the servant of the king had a son or a nobleman, or he's also called an official. Starting in verse 46. See here, 46. And Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And in Capernaum there was a servant of a certain king, whose son was sick. This man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, and he went to him and was begging him to come down and to heal his son, for he was close to dying. So this father is like on the verge of giving up. His son is dying, and he doesn't know what to do about it. And can you imagine the feeling and the hurt and the, you know, grief and everything is all welling up? He hears that Jesus is coming close, so he goes running to him, and my son is close to dying. Jesus said to him, if you do not see signs and wonders, you do not believe. But that servant of the king said to him, my Lord, come down before the boy dies. Please come help. You know, and when people reach out to us like that, they say, will you please pray for me because this is going on in my life? Or I'm at the end of my rope. You know, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people who are at the end of their rope. And we have not only the gospel to preach to them, but we can give them healing and deliverance and take away that hopeless feeling. So while he was going down, his servants met him. Oh, verse 50. Jesus said to him, "Go, your son is alive." And that man believed in the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went away. So that's the key, is that the man believed Jesus' word. So in our ministry of service and healing, when we speak something, then people can grab onto it. Not only in praying for people, like, you know, like in Agape, no, now that's really, really great. But like, for example, when we're ministering to each other, you know, Mike's been on this journey of healing for a long time, and lots of words keep getting spoken to him so that he can grab onto them and not give up. Because that's what we do for each other. When I was sick, I had so many people come and talk to me and tell me, "You're going to be okay. Everything's going to be good. Just hang in there," you know? And we all need that. We need that with each other. But we also have this as a service, a ministry of healing, just like Jesus. So now, okay, the next one is preach deliverance to the captives. The Aramaic in here is, let me read it to you here. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach forgiveness to the captives." See, the deliverance has to do with a release of some kind. And this is another thing that we have to be able to offer people, is forgiveness. Those were the two things at the beginning of Acts that were preached. Peter gets up in the sermon right after the day of Pentecost and preaches all about what happened. And then the people go, "Well, what should we do?" And he says, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." He preached the resurrection, right? And then he preached about forgiveness, because that is the other thing that people need and that we all need in our lives every single day. And so a captive, you know, is somebody who is bound or is in prison. You're captured. And our society and in many, many, many things, people are captive, right? So we have this deliverance and forgiveness that we can preach to people. The word picture for forgiveness is to leave or walk away. And when God forgives us, see, he walks away, and we get to walk away. We get to walk away not only from the sins, but also from the consequences of the sins. So, like Allison was sharing last week, it's wrong to say, "Well, I did this in my life, that's why I'm paying for it now." Yeah, that's not true. Because if we receive forgiveness of sins, just like this is talking about, then we're like captives that have been set free, and we can walk out in the deliverance. That's pretty cool, huh? So here, look at Mark chapter 2. I love this story. This is very early in Jesus' ministry. And he's in Capernaum again. And a whole bunch of people are gathered together. And verse 3, "They came to him and brought him a paralytic, bearing him between four men. And because they were not able to draw near to him because of the crowd, they climbed up to the roof and lifted the covering of the place where Jesus was, and they lowered the bed on which the paralytic was laid." So that means he had to break up the roof, you know, in order to get down. So can you imagine being in that crowd and looking up and going, "Oh, somebody's coming down through the ceiling right here." But when, so Jesus says, when Jesus saw their faith, he saw not only the faith of the man who was paralyzed, but also these four guys that came with him. So you have four guys in your family that you could go to right now if you need healing, and will take you to Jesus. You see, we can do that too. So when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "My son, your sins are forgiven you." Now, here we are. There's the scribes and the Pharisees who were sitting and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemy? Who is able to forgive sins except one, God?" But Jesus knew in his spirit that they were reasoning these things in themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you reason these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up, take up your bed, and walk?" Which is easier to say? Neither one, right? But this man needed to know that his sins were forgiven. And once he took that word and received it, then he was able to receive his healing. So that is our part of our ministry, see, is to go to the Father and say, okay, what does this person need? And lots of times they need to know that their sins are forgiven and that they don't need to walk in the consequences of stupid actions or decisions they've made in their life. You know, you can be free from that. And it goes on, verse 10, "But that you might know that it is lawful for the Son of Man to forgive sins on earth, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, take up your bed, and go to your house." So he said both of the things, right? But I love that part about how Jesus knew that he had authority to forgive sins. So do we have that same authority? Yeah. That's an area, this is an area that we don't spend that much time doing. And I think it's really vital, because if we want to see more deliverance and more miracles and stuff, we need to preach about forgiveness. And we need to teach people how to repent and how to receive this kind of healing. And then we'll see more miracles. And we'll see lots more people believe, like that, the 5,000. And the early days of that, right after Pentecost. So now here's the phrase that is added, that Jesus adds, the recovering of sight to the blind. And it's from Isaiah 42, verse 7, and Isaiah 49, verse 9. So you can go look those up if you like. But the blindness can be referring to physical blindness, right, which is what you start thinking about initially, but it actually has more to do with a mental blindness, where the person who needs healing lacks understanding in a certain area. Like Ephesians 1:18 talks about the eyes of our hearts being enlightened, that you may know, that you can know the hope of his calling, you can know the greatness of the power of those who believe. See, the eyes of our hearts have to be enlightened. I mean, somebody witnessed to us. I got witnessed to, and I was already a Christian, but my eyes got open, and I was so excited when I first heard speaking in tongues. It was my first fellowship I ever went to, and they were going around the room one after another, and I'm going, "Oh, you can't ask me, I don't know how to do it." And they skipped me and went to the next person. It's like, phew, okay. But that's all I wanted to do. I wanted to know how to speak in tongues. Because I never had heard it before, ever. And when they told me that it's your proof in the senses world that you are born again and you are going to go to heaven and nothing will stop you. And you can do it anytime, any place, anywhere, to yourself. Wow! So it's just exciting to offer not only healing and prayer and preaching, but real understanding of the Bible, of God's words. You know, how does he love us? He loves us so much, but if we don't know the word, then we don't have that. We don't have that assurance You ask a lot of different Christians why they believe what they do. They cannot tell you. It's just, I learned it when I was a child in Sunday school, you know, and they go to church, but they don't have it real. Like, it's, they don't see that they have a ministry of healing too. But we do, and so we just need to walk in it more and do it more. So this is part of it that I see, is offering understanding to people. And that's what I feel like. I've been so privileged to be here all these years and to have had the opportunity to teach many, many different fellowships and to have time to counsel and talk with each one of you and spend time together with you. It's been a real privilege. And I think that it's, I mean, it's not going to end either. We're going to keep on doing it. But for me, it's just, it's been so, I've been so honored to, and I feel like it's a privilege to offer understanding. And that's my life, you know, that's what I live for. I said I wasn't going to get all choked up here. But anyway, see, recovering of sight to the blind. Everyone needs to know more. You can always learn more. You can always have a little bit deeper understanding. I started looking at forgiveness again, just that whole idea of forgiveness, and I didn't really have as much time as I had wanted to look up all the verses again. But forgiveness and remission of sins is a huge topic, and it's something that we really need to teach more about. So the last one is, set at liberty them that are bruised or broken. And that's deliver those who are crushed, you know. And it, broken is like you get a piece of pottery and it gets smashed. It's broken to the place where you can't put it back together. But God can, right? He can. He can actually deliver those who are crushed. Like, there's no more pieces left. But he can set at liberty those that are bruised. And the Aramaic, again, offers a bit about forgiveness here, where it's to strengthen the broken with forgiveness. So how you put the pieces back together and set someone free is with forgiveness. So then once they know that they're forgiven, they can walk out in freedom. Somebody did that for us. So that's what we have to offer. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me. Now say it that, like you, see? The Spirit of the Lord is on me, and He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to deliver those who are crushed. We have so much to be thankful for. I wanted to end with Romans 8. This kind of sums it all up, what our ministry is. And in verse 1, from now on, there is no condemnation to those who in Jesus Christ do not walk in the flesh. There is no condemnation. That's what you get to walk in when you receive forgiveness of sin. See, we have to receive forgiveness, and then there becomes no condemnation. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life that is in Jesus Christ has freed you from the law of sin and death. So we have been freed. We've been set at liberty. We can proclaim that to the captive and set other people free too. And continue to receive it also, because there's lots of areas in all of our lives where we continue to need deliverance. And that's no shame in that. what God wants us to do, like he said in the manifestation, is just keep coming to him. Keep accepting his love. Keep on trying to understand with every part of our whole heart that it is always his will to heal. Always. Just like Allison was saying. And that we can have that. And we can give that to others. So never stop. Don't give up. Doesn't matter how long it takes. Just don't give up. We have the hope of the resurrection. We have forgiveness of sins. We have salvation and life in Christ. And nothing can take that away from us, ever. So I love you.
Okay.
We better pray, huh?
You think we should pray?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeannie, why don't you have a word of prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, so grateful for your love and grace on our lives. We thank you that sin has no place in our lives, that you have allowed us to be free so that we can receive all that Jesus Christ accomplished for us. I pray for each person here for that freedom, that release from any bondage that any of us have, that we can see that that's all that you want, that freedom that we can operate our ministries, that we can walk with you and you can help us find those that need to know the message of salvation and healing and deliverance. So I thank you right now for Jan and Glenn and for their new journey to Colorado Springs, for their lives being open again to another area where they can minister as well as still continue to love us and teach us. But I thank you for every detail of this move, for your blessing and for health and strength for them. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.